We need to start. Woo! We're going to start our lesson. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for the day you've blessed us with today, Lord. Thank you for the cooler temperatures and signs of winter coming. And Lord, just this time of year in general really prompts thoughts of family and friends and you, I pray. Father, just ask your blessing upon our time this evening as we look at these topics. Just pray that you would educate us in those areas that we need to be educated. Lord, arm us to be soldiers of yours, lovingly going into the world, Lord, proclaiming you and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we've been looking at doctrines of demons. That's what Paul calls it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're beginning with these first lessons and continuing on through probably the end of January with this side of things, looking at teachings that are designed and promoted in the world specifically to keep people from Christ. That is what the devil, our adversary, is really trying to do, to keep people from the truth. In the past few weeks, we've looked at Satanism, we've looked at witchcraft, we've looked at spiritism, we've looked at atheism, we've looked at evolution. But tonight's topic might surprise you a little bit, that we would be talking about what we're going to be talking about under the theme of doctrines of demons. And truthfully, this topic could fall under the topics that we've been looking at specifically for the past 2 weeks, atheism and evolution. But because this teaching is so greatly believed, even by some of what we would call very intelligent people, I thought it deserved its own class. And I think it might, this topic here might even be more greatly promoted, this teaching, more greatly promoted in Hollywood than even witchcraft. So, not including Janine, any guesses on our topic tonight? Derek.
Astrology.
Okay. Astrology, Christina?
Astrology.
Scientology?
New Age.
New Age? Bob?
Self-improvement?
I heard another word. Who said aliens? Right on the money. Right on the money. Some of the most successful movies and TV shows around, of all time, revolve around the topic of aliens. In 2012, National Geographic did a survey, and they found that 77% of Americans said they believed in intelligent life on other planets. Aliens is the center of one of the most popular conspiracies in our country, revolving around military installations, right here in Nevada, Area 51, right? And these, I'm actually reading to you not only some statistics, okay, but also these were going to be hints in case you couldn't guess it. And my last one, if you didn't get it after all of these hints I was giving you, I was going to say E.T. phone home. But intelligent life from other than Earth is going to be our topic tonight. Aliens. And again, this could very easily fall under the category of atheism or evolution, because as we're going to see tonight, it is very greatly connected. In fact, you can't have what we're going to look at tonight really without the theory of evolution. You can't have it, but we'll discuss that a little bit more as we move on. We're going to talk about the subcategory of atheism and evolution, aliens, intelligent beings from other than Earth. And in a group this size, I'm almost sure there are at least some in this room that are thinking, it could be. It could be possible that there is intelligent life on other planets. And I'll admit to you tonight that I've wrestled quite a bit with the idea over whether or not it is possible. Because there are questions that you and I can ask that Scripture does not directly answer. Let's read our go-to passage from the past 2 weeks. What was it? What's been our go-to passage? Genesis chapter 1. Okay, that's kind of where we've started the past 2 weeks, and we're going to start there again tonight. It is. I'm just going to read you two sections here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then let's jump all the way down to verse 24. The sixth day of creation, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on earth according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, we didn't read the entirety of creation, but I did read the portion about God creating the heavens and the earth, and specifically the portion about God creating intelligent life, okay, in comparison to even beasts, all right? But there are questions that you and I can ask that Scripture does not directly answer, like, what would stop God from creating another planet in another galaxy with another form of life in his image when he created the entire universe? Scripture doesn't directly answer that question. What's to stop God from doing that and not just tell us about it? We can't answer. I mean, God doesn't even tell us. He doesn't tell us directly when and where he created the angels. All right? We can gather from what we read here that they are part of this creation week, but he doesn't tell us directly. So there could be other things. Well, I'll just tell you, there are questions that we can ask that Scripture doesn't directly answer, but I believe it does indirectly answer them. That's part of what we're going to look at tonight. I will say this. I believe that the biggest reason we ask those kinds of questions, like the examples I just gave, the biggest reason we ask those kinds of questions in the first place, I believe it's because the world so believes it. All right? There's kind of a peer pressure out there, so to speak, that forces us to contemplate those questions. Some of the most respected and intelligent men and women in the world believe that it is possible that there is intelligent life on other planets. In fact, they claim that it would be ridiculous to think that life could only appear on Earth given the enormity of the universe. That's their reasoning. Certainly, they say there is another planet in another galaxy somewhere just the right distance from the sun, and intelligent life could exist there. Let me give you a few quotes here tonight. Renowned physicist Stephen Hawking, probably considered one of the most brilliant men on the planet today. He believes that the universe, with 100 billion galaxies, each containing, and there are many, many galaxies, but anyway, each containing hundreds of millions of stars, he says it is unlikely that Earth is the only place where life has evolved. He said, now we talked about evolution last week, and I'm giving you these now so we can see the connection here, okay? But he says it is unlikely that Earth is the only place where life has evolved. He said, and this is a quote, he said, "To my mathematical brain, the numbers alone make thinking about aliens perfectly rational." Okay? However, he also said that he doesn't believe anything is perfect, so I guess that would include his rationale. All right. In 2015, Charles Bolden, who has been the administrator of NASA since 2009, said, "I do believe that we will someday find other forms of life, if not in our solar system, then in some other solar system." All right. Deborah Fisher, professor of astronomy at Yale University, said, "If it is true that life is a common outcome of chemistry, then it is a good bet that this process is happening on other worlds." Dan Wertheimer, director of SETI Institute, is so sure that aliens exist somewhere that he testified to Congress in 2014 that there's close to a 100% chance. Chris Empey, an astronomer at the University of Arizona, says that there are three compelling reasons that alien life likely exists. Number one, the ready availability of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, water throughout the universe. Number two, the large number of habitable planets. He says about 10 billion in the Milky Way. And number three, the speed and apparent ease with which life started on Earth. Jason Wright, professor of astronomy at Penn State, says, "If life arose naturally on Earth, it must be possible for it to arise on other similar planets." He says, "The primary argument is that life exists here and arose via natural processes. Those natural processes are universal, and since it happened here on Earth, it must be possible for it to happen elsewhere. Even if the probability of it happening is very low," he says, "there are billions of planets in our galaxy alone that should have conditions similar to Earth, so it stands to reason that some fraction of them also have life." So in reference now to what we looked at last week, I believe that the biggest reason we ask the question about alien life in the first place is because the world so wants to believe in evolution. All right, and through it, there is pressure to believe that there is intelligent life on other planets. Some of the most respected and intelligent people in the world believe it. Okay, they believe it's possible.
It's just like the Earth is 100 billion years old.
That's right.
I mean, the first guy said there are at least 100 million galaxies up there.
100 billion.
100 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They've all been counted.
That's right. He's got a good telescope. Jeff?
I don't know where those guys got their figures, because it was interesting. I just came across an article today from one of the institutes that actually searched for planet-like, you know, bodies out there, and they instituted that in 1995. They started searching the universe, and they said so far they have cataloged 2,000 likely planets that have similarities as far as being close to a sun and everything else.
Right. No, well, what he's saying, Stephen Hawking for one said 100 billion galaxies.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
other one said... large number of habitable planets. He said 10 billion in the Milky Way.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Right.
These
right.
Guys only found 2,000 in
right. And you know, there is a huge... If you get right down to it, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, but there is a huge argument as to whether we can even identify for sure if a body out there is a planet or not, okay? Because we're seeing a planet isn't its own light source. It's reflecting something, okay? So, in fact, as they look at things, how they say they determine if it's a planet or not, apparently they say there's some kind of a wobble effect, okay? And they're just guessing at that. So anyway, yeah, I agree. But my point here is they're all going back to if evolution happened here, it stands to reason that it could happen somewhere else. So everything hinges on evolution. All right. Bob, you had something?
Yeah. If you've ever taken a course in statistics, that's one of the things that's not based basically on evolution. It's based on pretty good science. And that would be a good building block to come up with a theory that there must be alien life somewhere in the galaxy.
Have you heard of Frank Drake?
No.
We're going to talk about him in a minute. He's got the equation. The mathematical proof of life on other planets. But anyway, they all come back to if it is possible, if it happened naturally here, it stands to reason that it happened someplace else. And the problem is that little two-letter word, if. Okay, if it happened here. And anyway, as a result of that, I am convinced, just like atheism and evolution, I am convinced that intelligent life, the teaching of intelligent life on other planets, is a teaching of our adversary, the devil, a doctrine of demons. I am also convinced that God has told us in Scripture all about life and everything he has created. And therefore, regardless of unanswered questions, I believe that the devil uses just that idea of intelligent life as a teaching, another teaching to keep people from Christ. Now, what is the doctrine? Well, here it is. The doctrine is humanity is not unique. Humanity is not unique. This is the conclusion that the teaching of intelligent life from other planets brings us to. Humanity is not unique. Again, according to physicist Stephen Hawking, he said the discovery of intelligent life would be the greatest scientific discovery in history. He also said it would force us, you and I, to change. We would have to give up the idea that we are unique. That's what he said. We'd have to give up the idea that we are unique. According to this teaching, okay, that humanity is not unique, life evolved on Earth from nothing. According to those who believe in evolution, this is kind of a review from last week with a little added, okay? According to those who believe in evolution, we along with all life are nothing but a chemical compound that under impossible circumstances went from being inert to alive. We are a chance meeting of two dead molecules that somehow came to life. Greg? I don't think DNA could exist from two inert chemicals coming together. No, because we're chemicals. We're letters on a periodic table. That's it. You are, and we're going to talk about that. Listen to this, and this is actually a quote from a scientist, and I don't have his name because it was passed on to me from someone else. One scientist, he put it this way, he said, "The odds of life coming from nothing is impossible. It can't happen." Yet it did. That might be the most unscientific statement I've ever heard in my life. The teaching continues, if life evolved here, it can evolve elsewhere. And it would be a reasonable scientific conclusion if life actually evolved from nothing here. The Drake equation. Frank Drake in 1961 finished years of work on his equation that is designed to prove that life could exist on other planets. He says it is the mathematician's proof of life on other planets. Here it is. Don't write this down. N equals R times FP times NE times FL times FI times FC times L. Now, here's what it all means. N is the number of intelligent civilizations. That's the one side of the equation, all right? That's equal to R, the rate of star formation in the galaxy, is times FP, the fraction of those stars that have planets, times NE, the average number of planets that could support life, times FL, the fraction of those planets that actually developed life, times FI, the fraction of planets that with life that develop intelligent life, times FC, the fraction of intelligent species that send signals out into space, times L, the amount of time that the average communicative intelligent species is broadcasting its existence. And the it sounds, I got to tell you, it sounds
scientific.
It does. It sounds mathematical. They probably did. Now I got to tell you, my intent here tonight is not really to poke fun at it, okay? And I, you know, from a biblical perspective, it's like we talked about in weeks past. If it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable. It really would. Some of these things, but the big problem again, the problem with the equation is it all hinges on that one big if. If it happened here, it could happen elsewhere. Jeff.
An equation with like 10 variables in it, and not one of the variables is provable.
Yeah, there is. N, the number of intelligent civilizations. All right. Now, there is a reason for the order of classes that I did. I did atheism, then evolution, and then this one here. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at atheism. Last week, we looked at evolution. And it's under these teachings that this topic fits. The world's idea of aliens only fits. It only fits. It only works under atheism and evolution. If life evolved here, it can evolve elsewhere. And here's where all of this is going, all right? This is where this is going. Since they say life evolved from nothing into something here, then that means that life was not created. God did not speak the universe into existence as he said he did. He did not create man in his own image as he said he did. In fact, under this teaching, there is no God. There can't be. There is not a God, and then humanity is not unique. There's nothing unique about us because there are other intelligent beings potentially in millions of other galaxies, perhaps even more unique or special or intelligent than us. That is where the belief of extraterrestrials takes us. Humanity isn't unique because there is no God. If there is no God, there is no sin, there is no judgment, and there is certainly no need for a Savior. And that, you know, as we look at all three of them together, atheism, evolution, and now aliens, that is, as I mentioned last week with evolution, probably the most effective teaching of the devil in modern times. But adding in this extra element now, it is the most brilliant and extravagant revision of history that has ever been believed. The doctrine of intelligent life from other, and talking about evolution and atheism, this doctrine of intelligent life supports that teaching. So here's a question. What would the allure be? I mean, why have people bought into this, and how did Satan convince humanity that intelligent life exists in other places than Earth? Jeff.
I think one of the allures is, oh my gosh, if there were other beings in there, if they were more advanced than us, just think of what they could do if they came here and they contacted us.
Okay, and there are those that believe that's why we are as advanced as we are. Yeah, yeah. What else? Okay, there's something kind of intriguing about it, isn't it? Yeah, there's something intriguing about it. It is. Yeah. For sure, for sure.
I'm confused.
Jeff?
And you watch alien movies and they're fun.
Okay.
And all that.
For sure.
Like said, it's the unknown and the what if. Yeah.
So how, I mean, I got to, you know, if you'd have said that made these statements 100 years ago, people would have looked at you like you were loony. In fact, you may have been committed. Yeah. You would have been committed. So what changed? I mean, and we're talking even just 100 years ago, and that's after the theory of evolution really took off. So what changed, Jeff?
Landing on the moon.
Okay, landing on the moon.
Moon program and space exploration. Look what's now.
We're going to talk about John Glenn in a minute.
There's a concerted effort now. Elon Musk and everything. Yeah. They're going to Mars. Yeah. They say, we need to go and populate Mars. And you're going, are you kidding me?
Okay.
Well, that's the big
deal. Elon Musk and some of the other progressive, you know, liberals that are all about renewable energy, they say we will go to the Mars.
Okay, Shara?
Well, when I was probably in junior high, maybe high school, people were talking about aliens coming down and taking them away and doing the experiments and bringing them back. And they even showed... I remember seeing newsreels of these alien corpses that the government's supposed to have hidden out somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And that, I think that would be huge. Ron, you had some.
I was going to say television. I think is one of the biggest launchers.
Okay.
Because now okay. We've got a mass media that is able to touch multiple people. You know, 100 years ago, the only news you got was on the Pony Express, just from your local newspaper.
Oh, you remember that?
Jim?
I was going to say, what you say, it all started with Wells on his on radio.
H.G. Wells, okay, yeah. And that's
that
was less than 100 years ago, yeah.
Believing in, you know.
Yep, yep.
Twilight Zone.
Okay. Yeah. Derek?
Just a thought. Ecclesiastes, it talks about how God has placed eternity in our hearts. And so, I mean, if you can remove the sin factor, there is something within us that is crying out for God. And it's an unknown factor, though. It's a known factor, but it's an unknown factor. And it just makes me wonder, with the uncertainty of intelligent life other places, I'm just wondering if Satan's using it, maybe as this carrot, you might say, but it's because mankind, deep down, has this intrinsic part of him that longs for something greater. And unfortunately, that greater is nowhere near what God is, but it's like mankind's longing for that.
Okay.
And he's just throwing that carrot out there. And so it's kind of exciting, like okay. people say. But our ultimate excitement comes from Jesus, comes from God. So it just makes me wonder. I mean, Satan's using all of these things, but I'm wondering if it's because eternity is in our hearts and they're longing for something else. And of course,
okay.
we don't
okay.
seek after God. But does that make sense? So
yeah, yeah.
It's something
yeah.
unknown and higher.
We're looking for something to fill that
yeah.
God-shaped hole.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Other thoughts, Bob?
I was just wondering whether this also applies to parallel universes.
Okay. And it certainly that would spring from it. Yeah.
There's another thing that there is absolutely no proof that I know of, and yet a lot of people believe that there is such a thing.
Right, right. John?
The question in the garden, has God really said?
Okay, okay. All right. Yep. Very good. So, what activities do you suppose Satan and his demons might actually be involved in perpetuating this teaching? Mark? Looking for contact.
Yeah.
So yeah. Area 51.
Okay, Area 51.
For years they have been listening all over the world at these stations and have never picked up anything.
Right.
30 years they've been listening. And you figure if there was all these intelligent beings out there and planets, all those waves would have made it here by now, we'd be picking something up.
Let me give you a few things, and these have been all really, really good answers. And I'm gonna. This isn't a different direction, but I'm gonna even go just a little bit deeper, and we're gonna talk about even demonic personal involvement in this. Okay, because
demonic.
There are those. What's that?
Demonic.
Demonic. Yeah. Because there have been those who have claimed to see UFOs. Right? Has anybody seen a UFO? And unidentified flying, something that was flying and you couldn't identify it. That's what a UFO is. Right. Okay. And that makes sense. I saw one too. Late at night going to work. I saw something flying. It did something weird. I didn't know. I couldn't identify it. That's a UFO. But there have been claims of these sightings. And I'll just tell you, Air Force Project Blue Book. They were in charge of all of these sighting claims from 1947 to 1969. And in that year, that time span, they investigated over 12,000 reports of sightings. And they were able to explain every single one of them except for 700. Okay, which tells us that the majority of these things were people's overactive imagination. But on the other hand, some of these were things that the experts could not explain. Apollo 14, astronaut John Glenn claimed that he saw things that looked like fireflies buzzing around the spacecraft while he was orbiting Earth. The space shuttle Columbia took a crew of 5 astronauts on a 17-day mission. All of the astronauts during this mission saw what they said was a flying saucer below them. They were 190 nautical miles in the sky, and below them, right below their shuttle, they said they saw this flying saucer. In fact, one of the doctors on there, Story Musgrave, okay, said he was unable to explain what he saw, an expert in the field. All right, along with those accounts, there are several astronauts that claim to be certain that alien life has visited Earth. There have been claims of alien sightings, and the most brilliant part of this plan, our adversary's plan, is any sighting, whether it is identifiable or not, right up front is labeled as alien. Okay? So he's kind of in a win-win situation here no matter what happens. So there have been claims of UFO sightings. There have been claims of UFO evidence. Crop circles, treetops broken from objects they saw, land that's been scorched, pieces of UFO they say that they've retrieved, all these things. And then there have been claims of alien contact. All right. If you go online, you can find stories. And I'll just tell you, I do believe that the vast majority of them are just overactive imaginations. But you can find stories of people who say that they have encountered aliens, stories that match other people's stories. There was a fact, moving on here, there are other people that even claim they've been abducted. Psychologist Leo Spinkle from University of Wyoming says that he has hypnotized over 50 people who had claimed to be abducted by aliens, and the stories, their stories under hypnosis are very similar. They describe a similar room that they are in. They describe the approach of the aliens as frightening at first, and then they receive a sense of calm and peace. They said communication is nonverbal and comforting. The message is most often a message that teaches cosmic awareness, higher spiritual planes, supernatural powers, inner goodness, and a greater willingness to accept a diversity of teachings. Sounds like spiritism. But then some even describe a physical examination. Some describe sexual assault. But the similarities that this doctor found, he said they're so similar that he has to think that some of them are actually had actually experienced these things, okay? Now, we're going to come to the truth of this, okay? So hold on, all right? I'm not advocating this or believing it. But my point is how can one not believe in alien life from other planets when the universe is so huge, when the probability is so likely, when there is seemingly such abundance of evidence and even people that have claimed to have seen these things? And it is by this abundance of information that the world believes, and therefore we are pressured to as well. Now, I'm going to tell you that the leading minds in the world, okay, those who claim to be scientifically minded, most of them do not believe that we have made contact, all right? They don't believe that has happened. But the information, the teaching is still out there. So what is the truth of the matter? And I want you to follow me through this because we're going to kind of got to lead us down a path here for a minute and bring us to a conclusion. And we have to start at the beginning, and that is God created everything. In fact, in Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God created the universe, all of it. Everything that exists in the heavens, including the earth, He created it. The truth is, the earth is unique. In the very first 10 words of the Bible, God Himself labels Earth as unique. He doesn't just say that God created the universe. He said He created the heavens and the earth. He created the earth. So God not only created everything, but He uniquely created this place. He specifies its uniqueness. He placed it at just the right distance from the sun with the word of His mouth. He's the one who ignited the sun and all of the stars with fire with the word of His mouth. He's the one who places the stars, the planets, the moons, the asteroids, the comets, the galaxies, where they are, and He did it with the word of His mouth in an instant. He's the one who set them all in motion in their designated paths with the word of his mouth. He made the atmosphere, the oceans, the land, the vegetation, the fish, the birds, the creatures, the angels, all with the word of his mouth. The earth is unique, and the truth is, man is unique. Man was created in God's image. We have a spirit. We are a being. We have intelligence. We have sensibility. We have will, just as God has those things. We are plainly told that only man has those things. Truth be known, we don't even know. We don't even know if the angels have those things. Okay? Or at least all of them. Man is unique, and to prove it, God has given man dominion, rule over everything on the earth. So man is unique. Next thing here is, the truth is, all creation was cursed by sin. When Satan deceived Eve, Adam fell into sin. Satan was cursed, man was cursed, the earth was cursed. In fact, all created things were cursed because of Adam's sin. That includes all animals, man, birds, fish, land, sea, moons, planets, stars, galaxies. All of it was cursed, all creation. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Yes, all creation was cursed. Not God's dwelling place, not that heaven. Right, right. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." And the point I want to make here is, how much of creation is cursed? All of it, okay? All man, all animals, all birds, all fish or land, seas, moons, planets, stars, galaxy. All creation was cursed. It was cursed by sin. It's now waiting. It's waiting, groaning, anticipating the day that the Lord restores it. So then by reason, here's what this means. If there were intelligent beings other than human on other planets, someplace in the universe, they are now cursed through no fault of their own. And they are doomed to destruction because of the sin of Adam. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. And this talks about the destruction that is coming, okay? It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Jump down to verse 13. It says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So there cannot be other intelligent, emotional, willing beings created in God's image, for they would be destroyed unjustly. They will pass away without reason and without hope. And that is not the God that we serve. The truth is, Jesus is the only Redeemer. Somebody quote John 14:6 for me. Okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There cannot be intelligent life on other planets created in the image of God, because Jesus came to earth as man to redeem man alone. If there were other intelligent, emotional, willing beings, men created in God's image, they would have no way of being saved. The truth is, and follow me here for a minute, angels exist. Turn to Hebrews 13:2. Hebrews 13:2. Says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." And I believe that it is possible that maybe there are even some that have attributed an angelic sighting to UFOs or even aliens. However, I will just say this. The angels of God, when closely encountered in Scripture, always, always, always point people to God. Okay? But getting back to our theme, the truth is the devil and demons also exist. They are fallen angels. And of those who have had close encounters with what they believed were aliens, the message that was brought to them had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It had everything to do with cosmic awareness, higher spiritual planes, supernatural powers, inner goodness, and a greater willingness to accept a diversity of teachings, just like Spiritism. And that is far, very far from Jesus being the only way, the only truth, and the only life available in the presence of the Father. The truth is, I believe, aliens, at least as people that have, you know, as we went back and this fellow talked to 50 different people who all had these similar stories, I believe it's highly possible and very likely that in those cases, many of them, aliens were demons in disguise. If indeed one has really had an encounter with a being that claims to be from another planet, seeing what we've seen tonight, I'm convinced they've encountered a fallen angel. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan's goal is to plant teachings, even through experiences in one's mind and life, so that it will keep them as far from Christ as possible. And the belief in intelligent life from other than Earth is one of them. Let me give you one more truth here, and we need to turn to one more passage. John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17. And I want to read to you, this is Jesus. In this passage, we actually find a prayer that Jesus prays for those who know him and love him. And in the beginning of verse 13, he says this. He says, But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, my disciples, may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So lastly this morning, the truth is, believers are the aliens. We're the ones that are not of this world, okay? Because we know the Lord, because we know the truth, because we stand on and proclaim the truth, the world does hate us. The evil one is going to do everything he can to come after us and keep people from us and from the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, this world is not our home. It's not our home. Yeah, we were born here. Yes, we are human beings created in the image of God, unique. But truly, we are now the aliens because our final home is with God in heaven. In fact, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." But any thoughts or questions on what we've looked at tonight? Derek.
I'll just add one thing. Very good. What you said. And that is in Romans 6:10, it says, "With the death that he died," speaking of Christ, "he died to sin once for all." And I guess my point is this: he didn't die many times for all, including all the other beings on all these other planets. He became mankind on this planet, and Scripture says he died once for all of this cursed creation, you might say.
Yep.
And so, to me, that alone speaks to the fact that, like you said, and everybody else, all these other intelligent beings, have no chance then at that.
Right, right.
Because he only died once, and it was right here as a man.
For us,
and
yep.
So his love, you might say, is exclusive in that way toward his creation, but I think that that term once is really key.
Absolutely. And we're gonna revisit this sort of and that topic in a lesson that's coming up in about 5 weeks, I think. So anyway.
Well, if he died for creation, all creation, if he created another planet with other people, wouldn't they be covered too?
How would they know about to believe in him?
Oh, well,
since he gave his word to his people, the Jewish people, Israel specifically. Yeah. That's where we have his word. So, yeah, it's a good question, though. It's a good question. That's, like I said, there are questions that we can ask that we might not have direct answers to, but when you piece that puzzle together, you have to come to the conclusion that we are God's unique creation. Yeah, yeah. Shara.
And I think if there were other beings out there somewhere, I think he would have put it in his book.
Yeah, right. And again, that goes back to kind of what I opened with. You know, it is entirely possible. We can ask the question, couldn't he? And yeah, we can ask that question all day long. But again, as we piece this together, like you said, I think his book gives us the answer. Yeah, Ron.
I agree with everything you've said tonight. But what's fascinating when you think about how incredibly powerful God is you know, everybody's always, you know, as far as people who do believe in God, and they say, well, why couldn't he have created other beings and other planets? Think about it, God could potentially have created other universes because God is outside our universe.
For sure.
So there could be an infinite number of universes out there. Now, I'm not saying I believe that because I just don't.
Right.
But that is the capability of the God that we serve.
It's neat that we can ask those big questions like that and ponder the greatness of our God. And yeah, for sure. Yep.
When you think about that,
and you, along those lines, and this is this you've brought me off topic here now, but I'm excited because God is a creator God. And if he created this universe in 6 days, and for the past 2,000 years, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, I can't wait to see that. He's been working on it for 2,000 years.
Wow.
Right. Just a thought, you know. But, yeah.
It's fun to think about.
For sure.
What creates you?
I believe out of love. I think he wanted an object like him to love that could love him in return. Yeah, that's my answer.
Get lonesome.
No, I don't think he was ever lonely. He's always been triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't think being alone was ever an issue.
They could sing him a song whenever he wanted.
Absolutely. Greg? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Something to bring him pleasure and bring him glory.
To love him back, too, because, and willingly, we want to do it. He doesn't want to make us robots, so
for sure.
He wants that relationship with us.
Absolutely. Jim?
What credence do you put these people that are dead for their heart stops for a while, and so often they see they're going across this river? And very similar stories all the time.
Right, right.
Well,
we talked about that in the lesson on Spiritism.
Yeah.
On Spiritism. It's been a couple weeks ago, but you could find it online. And my answer to that is I can't argue against anybody's experience. I can't say you didn't have the experience, but what I can say is if that experience differs in any way, shape, or form from what God reveals right here, if it adds to it, if it subtracts to it, if it alters it in any way, and I have to choose between the two, I'm going to choose God's word over experience every day. So.
Or feelings.
Or feelings, yep. Good question, though. Jill?
Do you think it's possible? I always thought to Ron's point, since God is a creative God, do you think it's possible that he certainly could create another universe, another world, another creation that chose to obey and not partake of them?
I don't want to believe that, because that'd make us look all the worse.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's one of those big questions that we can ask and we don't have a direct answer to. But as far as doctrines of demons and what the devil is propagating in our world today, we have the Word of God. We can piece that together and know that we are a unique creation of God. Derek.
Well, I'm going to kind of answer that then.
Okay.
I think God, in the course of from A to Z, you might say, he's going to give mankind right here on earth every chance to receive him as Savior. And what I mean by that is when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and he's going to literally reign on this earth, there's going to be generations that reject him anyways. And like he came the first time, but the second time he comes not as a lamb, but as a lion, as they say, with great authority and who Christ is. And so when I look at that, I think he gives us every possible chance, but it always goes back to Romans. No one seeks after God. And ultimately, left to ourselves, none of us would choose God because God chose us. And I understand that we choose and he chooses. I'm not going to get into all of that because it sounds like in 5 weeks we're going to get into some of that, or maybe, but my whole point is, I think God gives us every chance, and I think he proves it through the course of human history. And not to get into the whole theological discussion of what that is, and you could be right, but if he did, there's not going to be a universe where they're gonna completely obey, because God is uniquely God, and we are his creation, and he's holy and righteous, and we are not. And so you could be right, but I'm saying to you, the reason why I choose to believe that there's not is because he died once for all,
yeah.
And I'll stick there. But it's great to discuss it.
it's fun to ask those questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Laurie.
Why would God create another place, universe, and make me feel that I wasn't good enough, that that would have been what he did?
No, I think we're...
You know, that's all part of Satan.
For sure. Yeah. We're having an argument that is based on nothing right now.
Right.
Okay?
So... Satan wins because he's just putting that down that you are never going to...
Right.
Doesn't it go back to, like Derek, you were saying, wouldn't it go back to, like Pastor said, everything was cursed that he created?
Right.
So there could be no perfect place.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
They would have to all...
For sure. And I think Jill was and Ron were implying that it's a different heavens and earth, okay, anyway. So, like I said, we can imagine forever. Bob?
I would put a lot of credence into John Glenn's, what he...
No, and I don't...
Just kind of look at his life. He's joined the Democrat Party.
Roger?
If we have any questions, we can ask later.
You can ask later, yeah. If you have any questions, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, too. Just bring them to God, and he will answer them if you still care about them at that time.
Yeah.
All right, we need to close. Oh, was there? All right, let's close. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight, and I do thank you for the just the lively discussion that this prompts, but I also thank you for the truth that you give us. Thank you for making us unique. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for telling us in your word how much you love us. And we do thank you that we have your word, that we can ask these big questions, maybe not come to a direct answer, but from your word we can piece together. And I hesitate to use it that way, Lord, because truth is truth, but we can look at your truth and claim it, believe it. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
There were some of the Hollywood people that said if Trump wins, they're going off into space. So we